Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Tobin and Leroy here with you. We'll start off this hour, give you some weather. That's brought to you by Tornado Roofing and Contracting. Storm season is coming. Make sure your home is ready. Get your free roof and window estimate today. Visit tornadoroofing.com. 85 degrees and pretty down here in Miami. Sunny conditions, all the clouds going away around 1 o'clock. Wind gusts up to 15 miles per hour. Humidity, 67%.
That I'm telling
you. Oh, it's going low.
That no, it was 50 last week.
But it was 70 when he hour one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So that means, okay.
That's not bad.
But that's good for down here. In May? The end of May? Does that mean that this season going to be just terrible?
Yes, we've discussed it.
I don't know. I'm seeing some stuff that's saying storm season might not be that bad, but it's going to be hot. I think it's going to be hot.
I can deal with the heat.
I don't know about this.
Because everything I do is early.
Soup, man. Soup. I don't like that. Soup is nasty. Soup heat is worse.
Yeah, you're not wrong, dude. Headlines, those are brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. Home of the Pricito, our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Volkswagen or DoralVolkswagen.com. The Marlins, they will be back in action today against the Atlanta Braves. Sandy Alcantara on the hill against Spencer Strider. That's an intangible name if I've ever heard one.
He can pitch, though. He can pitch.
6:40 p.m. You going to this one too, Vlad?
Yeah, to my last
Boots
game.
Boots on the ground?
Boots on the ground.
All right.
Jordan's on the field. Yeah.
All right. Very good.
Spencer, is that an intangible name?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. 100%.
Come on.
That's an OG. That's like a 90s intangible name.
The only time you see a Spencer for us, last name. Like mm-hmm. Elmore, like Elmore Spencer. Yeah. But Spencer as a first
name. And then
name?
It's followed up. Like, look.
No, you know what?
Elmore.
Let me take that back. Spencer Haywood. Take that back.
Spencer Haywood.
Got to take that back.
Wasn't Spencer Haywood didn't end up like who's the basketball player that ended up he won like a Grammy for jazz?
Cedric Ceballos?
Nope, not him.
Ronnie Cicely.
No. I think it was Cedric Ceballos.
Spencer Rattler is mixed, I think.
Yeah, that's the quarterback.
Let me see.
Let's see. Players with Grammy ties. Don't know. Jazz.
Nah, can't find it.
Most notable crossover between NBA player and Grammy jazz musician, Wayman Tisdale.
Wayman Tisdale. There you go. That's it. See that? Like, he won a Grammy.
Hey, props to you. I didn't know.
That's right. He did.
Come on. Come on, man.
What?
Do you want a point?
I'm going to give him a point.
Anyway, so the Marlins will have their regulars, I'd imagine, out there today. So that'll be nice. I don't have to watch. Because I really do feel like when the Marlins face a lefty, I'm just like, all right, great. What a product almost, I get to watch
they
today.
They make you not want to watch the Marlins when a lefty's pitching.
Here's Morel up. Ground out.
Is that crazy?
You really hate the
no,
bike, don't
no.
you?
No, Vlad, you don't even understand. Men on first and second. Morel comes to bat. And Tobin already sends out, like,
first
here
pitch,
it comes.
Right to the shortstop.
Ground ball to the shortstop.
Six,
double
four,
play.
6-4-3. No, four, not three. Even, it wasn't even a 6-4-3. It was straight to the shortstop that he ran to the base and made it a 6-3 double play.
Yep. Yeah, very frustrating. Very frustrating. But I made my thoughts on it known in the first hour. No need to do it again.
You know what's frustrating about this team is that they got two good hitters to lead off the.
They do.
You know, that kind of.
Those guys have put up all-star seasons.
They have. It kind of reminds me of the Cardinals in the 80s where you had like Vince Coleman and Willie McGee to the fact that these guys are getting on base, being put in positions to score runs, and they don't have anybody after them that can really bring them.
Speaking of leadoff hitters yesterday, Shohei Ohtani, he hit a leadoff home run in the Dodgers 4-0 win. He also pitched 5 shutout innings.
Do they bat him first?
Yeah, yes. They always do.
Yeah, they always do.
Because they want him to get as many bats as possible.
Well, yeah. I mean, you don't want to put him on base, so he's going to get some good pitches.
Right.
He's good still. I know people have said, oh, he's slumping a little bit. Something tells me he's going to be fine.
Yeah.
What makes you say that? The home run, the 5 scoreless.
Listen, if Clayton McCullough had him, he'd like he did back in L.A., they'd bench him every time they faced a lefty. Not today, Shohei. Not today. He goes, really? He goes, yeah, we're going against the lefty. We're going to play Christopher Morel. Really?
Like, can he give a call to Dave Roberts?
I would tell you, his next words would be understood in all languages that he speaks.
Freddie, you sit down. Freddie Freeman, you sit down. No need for you today. We're facing a lefty. Oh, okay. All right. Well, fine. Anyway, you got the playoffs tonight. Knicks, Cavaliers, game two of the Eastern Conference Finals, 8 o'clock on ESPN. And then Carolina Hurricanes take on the Montreal Canadiens, 8 o'clock tonight. That is on TNT. Very curious to see what Carolina looks like after having basically a week and a half off. I wish them no success, though. I'm definitely rooting for the Canadiens.
I think in hockey, I would say hockey, I would say that's the sport that helps the most with the break. I mean, they just, every night, they look like they're just.
They put a lot into it, but I told you that status on SportsCenter yesterday. Sweeps versus seven game series, 7-1.
I thought that was basketball.
No, it was NHL.
It was
NHL.
Wow, so you put a little chili pepper on.
You could. You put a little chili pepper. You know? So we'll see what happens with that, but that gets going tonight.
You know, another thing about the Cavs. Not only did they lose, but I was thinking, well, at least they'll cover. They didn't even cover.
Nope.
They got blowed out in the overtime.
What's the spread today? It's got to be big for the Knicks.
What, 7.5?
6.5.
Same as last time.
Knicks 6.5 point favorites.
Think about that. The spread was 6.5, and you're going to overtime. Double overtime, right? So that means you was tied after
one overtime.
Just one overtime. That means that you were tied with only 5 minutes left to go, and you still lost and didn't cover.
You were up 22.
I mean,
think about it. To be up 22.
You think you was counting that money?
But for you to be up 22, think about it. If you put money on the Cavs, even if they lose,
you're going to cover.
There's no way you thinking you're going to lose money.
So
they could lose, but you're not going to lose your money.
You had 28 and a half points, Vlad.
To play with.
With 7 minutes left.
And it happened to be 34. Well, 33 was the turnaround. 44-11 turnaround.
Yeah,
if you had money on the Cavs, that's a bad night.
No, you'd be sick to your stomach for something like that. Terrible,
and that's it.
Purely terrible.
That's it. That like you just tell me you just feels that. I've only felt that way once, and it was terrible, and it was against Miami, right? Glad we were. When I was in college, we were playing University of Miami. They came up to the Big House.
Mm-hmm.
We were winning 30-14 with 5 minutes left to go in the game. Touchdown, onside kick, field goal. We lose 31-30.
It was an avalanche a snowball? And then once it picked up speed, there was no stopping it, right?
But after the first touchdown, the offense never got the ball because they got two onside kicks. So we never had a chance to run out the clock.
Did your special teams coach get fired the next day?
No, that was the early colleges where you had the same coaches for 17 years.
Mm.
It was, dude, I like.
You got that real tenure.
Yeah. So I was just like what just happened? Like, I've never experienced a whole lot of that.
And let's wish a happy birthday to Myron Gardner from the Miami Heat. 25 years old. Being an antagonist somewhere.
She has the same birthday as Biggie. Congratulations
to
him.
Myron Gardner, 25 years old today. Making Klay Thompson cry somewhere.
What, on his boat?
Got into a lot of scraps this year, Myron Gardner. But I really like the way that he played. Plays hard, you know.
I think that it... And I learned this because when you play like somewhere like Cleveland, Pittsburgh, right, where it's like blue collar, I would say that the one thing that if you want a fan forever in those towns, just play hard, right? And if you want to lose a fan, make it look like you giving half effort, right? And I think that's what I learned, especially coming from Michigan and then going to Cleveland. Minnesota's a little different. Minnesota's like a tech town, right? Mm-hmm. But yeah.
Take a break. More to come here on the show. We're back after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Take you guys up until 2 here on the program.
I'd much rather be looking at JFig than me.
What?
I said my camera would much rather be looking at JFig than me.
Understandable. What, you can say it, but I can't?
That hurt.
Thank you, guys. That's so kind.
That hurt. That really hurt. Why would you aim, but...
I'll make you feel better right now.
Point for JFig.
Give away some tickets to Hayley Williams. Lead singer Paramore Hayley Williams, highly recommended by JFig, is bringing her the Hayley Williams Show tour to iThink Financial Amphitheater in September. What caller number you want to do, Jennifer, for today?
None, because they're mine. Sorry.
I'm not allowed to do that.
I know. Caller number 5.
Unless you want to do, you're going to the name Schmenifer. Polish Schmethan.
Schmenifer.
Shmagoa?
Yeah.
So, what caller number?
5.
Caller 5 to 305-567-0560. Caller 5 to 305-567-0560 will win a pair of tickets to see Hayley Williams and her The Hayley Williams Show tour at the iThink Financial Amphitheater in September. It's a Live Nation show, but caller 5 right now to 305-567-0560 will win the tickets. Miami Dolphins, OTAs this week as they are getting ingratiated in the Jeff Hafley era. Got their players all set. Devon Achane is signed. Now we'll see if Jordan Brooks and Aaron Brewer get their contracts.
I think they have to wait until
the money.
June 1st, yeah, right? The after June 1st, right.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But both very good players. I mean, Jeff Hafley seems to really, in his public comments, seems to really like Jordan Brooks. What's not to like about Jordan Brooks, the way that he plays football?
The only thing that I would say, and here's what makes it crazy, is that if the numbers aren't, like, if nobody's willing to bend at all, I could see them just going with Rodriguez and saying, like, it was a money thing,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's unfortunate, but these are the decisions that you have to make, you know, because as great and I think Jordan Brooks is a guy you start your team with. I believe that. Just the way in which he plays football, you want as many people playing football on your team like that, with that intensity, with that level of commitment, right? And so what happens is if the money doesn't work, then you could always justify it and say, okay, now we have a group of guys. We got 15, 20 guys that are on the same timeline, and we know we're going to coach them up for however many years. So – yeah, I could see either way. I personally would not to kind of take anything away from Achane.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would have did the Brooks concert, the Brooks contract first.
Really?
Just to show everybody on the team of the impact of the attitude.
But even Brooks said that, like, Achane's our best player.
Yeah, no, I understand all that. I really do. I understand all this, and I understand you got to re-sign Achane. I think every team in every sport has guys on the team that outsiders looking in will only look at the production and how he compares to other guys playing that position. But only your team knows the importance that he has to your roster and how you do things. And that's the part where that doesn't necessarily translate into money.
The ESPN's Bill Barnwell did a piece doing the best and worst moves for each AFC team.
Mm-hmm.
For the Dolphins, he said, best, signing Joshua Uche. The Dolphins are starting a lengthy rebuild, though Miami unsurprisingly moved on from a number of veterans.
Their best move is a guy that I haven't – did you know who he was?
I know who he is, yeah. He's a pass rusher never gets to the quarterback.
Oh, so he's another chop.
He said that what teams like the Dolphins have to offer veterans is opportunity for Uche. This is very appealing. He produced 11.5 sacks and 9 tackles for loss with the Patriots in 2022 and appeared to be on the verge of potential stardom, but it never came through. Uche didn't do much over the two ensuing years with the Pats and Chiefs. He signed to be a rotational player for the Eagles last season. The former second-round pick was on the field for only 244 snaps, managing 1 sack and 3 knockdowns, but he's still only 27. He has success. He had success at one of the league's most important positions. Even in those limited stats with the Eagles last year, he showed surprising power to drive tackles backwards, especially given that he's listed only at 227 pounds. There probably isn't a superstar here in the making, but Uche could prove to be a useful player if given the opportunity now and for several years to come. That's a good bet to make, especially when he's making just $1.4 million in 2026.
No, he sounds like Van Ginkle. Sounds like you've said the same thing about Van Ginkle. Van Ginkle's bigger, though.
I feel like Van Ginkle always made big plays, though.
Well, but keep in mind, they treated him like this guy until guys start getting hurt. And then he start playing more.
Yeah, and then he always had his hands on the football and was always just wreaking havoc.
Correct.
Bill Barnwell says the Dolphins' worst move of the offseason, not getting big value on Devon Achane. Says, I don't think the Dolphins did many controversial or unreasonable things this offseason. Trading Jalen Waddle was one of the few decisions that seemed debatable, but I felt like Miami came away with good value for its top receiver. All these major releases the Dolphins made were logical, and signing players for the minimum can't really go too wrong. Frankly, if the Dolphins were able to hold on to Achane, I thought that general manager John Eric Sullivan did well to get a deal done with our star back last weekend. Bijan Robinson and Jahmyr Gibbs are likely to get new contracts this offseason, and when they do, it'll likely reset the top market. Getting Achane at $16 million per year was reasonable enough, and I love what he could bring to the Dolphins and the right offense. But are the Dolphins in 26, 27, 28 likely to be that offense? I'm not really sure that will be the case. Achane is coming off a career year where he averaged 5.7 yards per carry and set out the final game of the season. His slight build is always going to raise questions about his durability. He thrived under Mike McDaniel, who might be the best run game designer in the league, and his numbers were significantly less efficient without Tua Tagovailoa on the field. Over the past 3 years, Achane averaged 0.1 EPA per rush attempt at a 45% success rate with Tagovailoa, but fell to 0.02 with other QBs on the field. Dolphins aren't likely to field much of a passing attack anytime soon, and with Willis, probably who will have to shoulder some of the rushing load, which will combine with a limit of Achane's ability to impact games. He's a very good running back, and it's reasonable for Sullivan to see Achane as a core component for the Dolphins moving forward, but I don't know if the Dolphins will be able to get the most out of him. Achane could have thrived elsewhere, and the Dolphins could have landed a second-round pick for him. I would have preferred to see him move on and try and land the next Achane in the middle rounds of the years to come.
Well, see, and I'm going to snap back. One of the things that drives me crazy about these guys talking about guys that were drafted in the third and fourth and fifth round and we'll just go get another one. You got lucky. You got a guy that ended up being a stud. You ain't gonna just go find another one. Why do they think that? They all think, everybody think they're going to just go find a star receiver in the fifth round because of what happened with all these guys in recent years.
Right.
There's no. The fact is, if you get lucky and you find one, you keep him. And so, like, go look at the league. Everybody thought Ashton Jeanty was going to be that guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Achane had a better rookie year than him. He was a top five draft pick.
What is he, top four? Four?
Yeah.
Jeanty?
Yeah.
He was number two.
Number two. That's still.
Oh, I'm sorry. That was last year. No, he was, I think, number five. Travis Hunter was number two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So top let's think about this. Achane had a better year than the guy that went top five. You think you're just going to find another one? Like, enough with this craziness. Like, stop thinking you're just going to go find another one.
Well, he was actually six. Top six.
But, like, yeah, no. No, that doesn't happen. You think you're going to find another? What, Puka Nacua was fifth round?
I think you would have had to been blown away with an offer for that. Like, for a second-round pick, like, you're – honestly, you don't think the Dolphins could get a second – if they had a terrible year, I still think they could get a second-round pick for Devon Achane.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just – I think unless you were, you know, somebody in the middle rounds like, hey, we have a top 20 pick we want to give you for Achane, then okay, you gotta discuss it. But you know, I just think from my standpoint, yeah, I get the build is small, but he's still young. He's gonna turn 25 yeah. before the season or right as the season gets going. Doesn't really ever seem like he takes big hits.
Here's what I would say.
I think there's right. still a lot of tread on the tire there. I wouldn't worry about it.
There's another thing you have to understand, right? Depending on what type of running back you are will determine how long you play. For people to make the assumption, Achane's already on the back end of his career as a running back. You don't know that because, like, he plays a speed game. His game is all centered around speed and making people miss. Those guys tend to play a little bit longer, right? Those guys tend to have some longevity because, you know, they have speed, like ridiculous speed.
No, he's ridiculous. Like, so, the way he runs away from people is right. so silly.
Right. That is just like, you know, I used to always marvel at, you know, people saying, oh, Metcalf is 30. And he's on the backside of his career. Of what career? Have you ever caught him? Like, what career?
We read the toes.
Like, see? What? See? There he goes.
That's what he did.
Point for Toby.
He agreed with
but, me. But it's conversely, if you look at somebody like Robert Smith, who early in his career got hurt a lot. That's a whole different dynamic. So now if you're saying Robert Smith is 25, 26, now you're saying, oh, but, you know, he's only played the real three or four full seasons because he was getting hurt. There's a difference. Like, we just throw this in, lump him all in. You're going to miss out on a great player because of your stupid rules. You're old, 25, old, 20. What about a 25-year-old that don't get touched? How does that work out? Julio. Basically, he running track.
Julio says, the Finns need to tank for a QB. Keeping Achane was not a good move. If you're going to rebuild, you need a top QB. But wouldn't you want your young QB to have a star running back?
Oh, my God. So here's the deal.
Like, what did you Here, want wait, that for him?
No, let me dispel this, too. Okay? You got to do what you got to do now. Right? And I'll give you a perfect example. Last year, when the season ended, not this past year, but the year before, 2024, Super Bowl, the 2024 year, right? Or I'm sorry, 2024 year.
Yeah, you got it.
When that season ended, everybody thought, this year, there's going to be a boatload of quarterbacks that are available, right? And everybody's like, oh, we got to tank for one of these star quarterbacks. And you ended up with one who was never under consideration and another one who should have never been drafted in the first round. So if you're going to plan your future on next year and next year doesn't work out, then you're going to suck for a couple of years. You got to play football right now. You got to do what you can to make your team better right now. And still think about future plans at that position, but not quit playing football because we gonna wait until the draft.
Well, I think the thing is if you wanted the Dolphins to go to the tank route anyway, you wouldn't have signed Malik Willis. Like, they're very clearly not tanking. That's not their choice.
Like, but listen, everybody understands and says they understand what we're doing until it's actually going on, and then you're miserable. Right? And then the owner's miserable, the GM's miserable, the coach is miserable, the fans are miserable, and then you go and say, and then I dare anybody to say, hey, this is what you guys wanted. You wanted us to tank and be crappy so we could get a good quarterback next year. And then what happens if a quarterback's not available next year? Then what? Now you're doing it again? Yes. You can't play football that way. You can't do it that
That's
way.
That's what the Jets are doing.
Right. Okay.
It is what you're doing. Would you disagree with that?
It is. I'm not disagreeing.
That's what they're doing.
Right?
But putting a whole team around.
Put a whole team around. They didn't have a QB this year. They got Geno. And now they're hoping that they get Arch next year. Or Dante Moore.
Yeah, but what if they end up 9-8?
Or Joe Burrow.
Maybe.
Oh wow, you doing the Tobin now?
Wait a minute, time out. I have three first round picks. If that team stinks again, they have to start considering what they're gonna do with that franchise quarterback.
Now you GM in the Cincinnati Bengals.
Somebody needs to, because whoever the GM has been doing a piss poor job.
You know, you're dealing with a Tobin, right?
Yeah, no relation, Duke Tobin.
You're dealing with a Tobin. No relation. You're dealing with a Tobin. So, you know, he said, like, you give me the 3 first picks, I'm going to get the Goosies, baby.
They would love that.
No, see, now A-Chan's a professional runner. I mean a professional runner and a guy who plays with speed. He plays with speed.
And he's strong, bro.
He's strong.
I've never
seen
a little dude like that run between tackles.
Dude, like, I I'm not trying to be that guy, and I'm not trying to be that athlete. But sometimes when you guys comment, I wonder, what the hell are you looking at? Like, what football have you been watching?
Unless Sully and Half low-key know Malik Willis is really trash. No, I think they love Malik Willis.
They really do.
I don't think you can fake that.
They really do like him by everything you've heard. People that see him play say he has a hose, that he can throw the rock. But here's what I would say. It's one thing to come in relief, right? It's one thing to be the starter.
Yeah.
So that's something that he's going to have to get accustomed to.
Take a break. We'll play a little Goosies. No Goosies. What? Yeah, we have two Jennifers once again on camera.
Your camera.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. Hey, Machine Gun Kelly fans, we're giving away tickets to see his Lost Americana show with Wiz Khalifa, May 27th at I Think Financial Amphitheater. For your chance to win, enter now at WQAM.com/contest. This is a Live Nation show. Wiz Khalifa.
There's going to be a lot of smoking in that concert.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably right about that. You're probably right
is
about that.
Is he still black?
Who?
I
mean, he can't get...
MGK? Yeah. Remember he got the black tattoo?
Oh.
That's pretty hard to remove. So
I think once you go that way, I don't think there's any going back from that. I don't know. Not really sure. Not really sure about that.
I don't really follow him, so I don't know.
What do we have today, Jennifer, for Goosies? No Goosies.
We have Malik Willis on earning.
I'm sorry. My cat's name is Whisker Leafa.
That's pretty good.
Point for Twitch.
That's good, John Jewel.
That's funny. All right, okay. As you go ahead.
Sorry.
I feel like I need to ask him the same question you asked him like 2 minutes ago.
No.
Jesus.
No.
Anyway, like I was saying, how do you guys feel about Malik Willis on earning being a leader?
All right, here's what he had to say.
Trust. I mean, every play we go out there, whether it's calling the play, whether it's executing the play, whether it's making sure somebody else can get lined up, you build that over time. And I don't think you just put somebody in a position and say, okay, you're the leader now. You got to earn that. And that's from, you know, top to bottom.
I got the Goosies. You know, he's not trying to step on any toes. He's going to just do the thing. But I think you hear Jeff Hafley's like putting him in position to be the leader. But I think he's not trying too hard. He's just being Malik Willis. I like it. Goosies.
I think one of the things I appreciate with everybody, like, and I would say this to a lot of people, teams go sideways when you make people leaders instead of letting the leaders reveal themselves.
It's like, right? A magic trick.
And so from that standpoint, I think both with Halfley and with Malik, they kind of said the things that, okay, here's what I need to do. The better job I do of this, the better leader I can be. But as of right now, there are no leaders. And Halfley said, well, I'm the leader right now because nobody else revealed themselves. So Yeah, I like the way they're just going about it the right way. Doesn't mean it's going to work out, but they're going about it the right way. That, like, coaches that come in and try to gain the respect of their players by naming the star players the captains, that doesn't always work.
Yeah, you can't just grab the flute and be the Pied Piper, dude. You got to make sure the rats will follow you.
And you hold on. Hold on. And you ask me? You want to ask me? You want to ask me? And he could say stuff like that?
It's Tobin.
No! No! Exactly. That don't mean nothing.
She gets it.
Oh, I just love how he loves looking for an audience to, like, agree with him so he'll make eye contact.
Of course!
I just couldn't look
at him. All he needs is one.
No!
He's
no,
just looking for one.
I won't even look at him.
That's why I laughed. Because he was just looking at me.
Because he looked over here. I saw him. I used my peripherals, and I saw him looking over here, and I'm like, no, I'm not acknowledging that foolishness.
If Jay Fig, then you were going to look at me soon.
Oh, definitely. I was just going to, just and anywhere
then
Jay but there. Got
him. And then this is it. The clown's on the chat. Well, he go misstepping on Leroy's toes.
You got the goosies, Jennifer?
I think so.
Vlad?
I do have the goosies.
Goosies.
They're going about it the right way. They're going about it the right way.
They are.
What do you got for number two, Jennifer?
I mean, there's more. Like, I'm scared. Like, you have everybody. She's shell-shocked. You don't want to talk.
We have Gargu. I think that's how you say it. And the Mandalorian.
Grogu?
Grogu.
Sorry, my bad. I don't watch it.
Gargu.
Gargu.
Whatever.
Minus one.
Well, it comes out tomorrow.
Oh, Goosey's galore, dude.
Goosey's galore.
Goosey's on top of Goosey's. Cannot wait.
What? And here's the kicker. Here's the kicker.
What's the kicker?
I got to go somewhere with Rebecca at 11.
In the morning or at night?
You got primo.
So when all y'all are at work.
That's not fair.
Boom.
You just go by yourself?
Leroy. No.
You going to bring a Cinchy Mouse?
Yeah.
Right. Is that a movie?
Yes. Hmm. Baby Yoda.
I thought it was a series.
It was a
there
series.
Was a series. It was a series. Now it's a movie.
Now it's
very what's nice. With the smile? Very what's nice. With the smile? G-Fig.
Yeah, no Goosies?
No.
Why? You don't, you don't like Star Wars?
I like Star Wars.
No
but like,
Goosies.
Like, I literally asked you if it was a series or a movie, so.
Well, if you're going to the movies to see it, then it's the movie. Like,
okay,
put
well.
Put two and two together. Goodness.
Vlad, you got the Goosies?
I got the Goosies.
Goosies. Gonzalo says that Leroy is going for baby Toda.
Point for
Twitcher. I'll watch that.
Witcher.
Oh, you watch baby Toda? That's messed up.
Hard to fit in shoes it is.
Point for Toby.
Can't even look at me anymore.
No. You just wanted to laugh it up. You couldn't wait.
He's 10 toe down.
I had to look at the comments because he looked at me. I'm like, oh no.
Schmeathen says. Ain't no force entangling those talents.
So wrong.
What's number three?
There's more. There's more.
There's more.
Please.
We might not get to all of them.
These are crooked. They are.
By the way, Yoda and his quotes. Fear is the path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to suffering.
Wow, he said that?
Yeah, he said that in The Phantom Menace.
So poetic.
Damn, dude.
Train yourself to let go of everything you fear to lose. Oof. Revenge of the Sith.
That's harsh. That's Goosey's right there.
He does.
Are you guys ready for number three?
Yes.
I hope so.
Well, the Bucks D-line coach is saying that Reuben Bain is basically James Harrison.
Do you want to know what his name is? I'm not even making this up.
Who? Don't tell me.
The coach?
What's his name? Does it have a toe in it?
Say it.
Larry Foote.
Larry Foote, I played against him.
I bet you did.
He this is what he had to say on Reuben Bain.
He played for Pittsburgh.
It was unexpected for him to be there. You've watched plenty of tape. You've seen a lot of guys come to this league. Do you know that this guy is going to be a star in the league even before, you know, he arrives?
Off the film, if you had to bet, he's going to be a star. He's just the way he plays the game. He's explosive, plays with great leverage, and it's hard to block those type of guys. You know, back in my Pittsburgh day, played with a guy, James Harrison, like that. It was just, you couldn't block him. And he has that trait. He has that ability. I'm more impressed with his mindset. And I kind of got a little feel for that when we interviewed him at the Combine. But these last few weeks, he has that Levante David focus, that area down there in Miami. Them guys are just, you know, it's Jesus 1A and football 1B. And them guys love ball. Even when it's break time, he ain't pulling his phone out like the rest of them. He's all about ball. So I'm excited to have him.
I would say this. People don't realize that James Harrison was 5'10", 295.
He was that heavy?
Yes.
Jeez.
So he was built like a cinder block. I think, and he played with a motor and energy that so was unmatched.
Mean. So mean.
So I don't think that he'll be that, but I get where he's coming from with the intensity.
Yeah.
And with, you know, the energy that he plays with.
Crazy. I got the Goosies, though. I'm a big Reuben Bain fan, even if it's not
here. I'm a Reuben Bain fan.
Goosies galore.
Goosies.
Stolen Goosies?
Goosies galore.
That's not a bad way to put it, Jennifer.
That's how I feel.
Yeah. Vlad?
Come on, man. You know I love my fellow Haitian. Anytime they're talking good about Reuben Bain, I've got Goosies galore.
Goosies galore.
What's number four, Jennifer?
We have Kenny Atkinson again.
No Goosies.
By James Harden's defense.
It's not possible. How is he still sticking by his defense?
Because he's trying to
defend him. He's a good isolation defender. Always has been. He's super smart. I said it last night. He's got great hands. I was kind of a little more upset with our backline defense. Okay.
Backline?
He had a couple, two or three really tough shots on him. But then I think the baseline drive where our low guy didn't come over and get a contest, right? This is team defense. At this level, it's team defense. You know, are we, you know, helping them, sending them the right direction, have the help there. So, sure, we can. I know everybody's putting it on James, but I'd say it's a lot of it's on the team, our team defense. And we were great for three quarters, like really, really great. So we can do it. I think sure, some of it was him. There was a couple of bull-byes, but
can you give him a minus one for rambling?
I don't know.
Really?
It was on.
You know, we're not big on rambling down here.
The team defense.
Get to the point.
I said, well, listen, my friend. I said, without you, we're knocked out in the first round.
I'm sick of this guy.
That's first. My personal opinion.
Still going.
So let's just stop that. We're in a great position. You've played great. And, you know, sometimes micro experiences get exaggerated.
What? You know, micro? The entire quarter.
Minus one.
It was a macro ass kicking.
So part minus of the problem one. Is Kalel got to be pissed if he's hearing that.
No.
Because,
Evan Mobley.
Because he's thinking, no, because, oh, well, no. Here's the problem.
Jared Allen.
No, here's the problem. Spo would throw Kalel under the bus.
Oh, yeah.
This guy is throwing the guys who are actually playing defense under the bus.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So that's why I say Kalel got to be, you know, pissed off about this because he got caught in those situations a lot with the Ole twins.
But how are you going to put that on your defensive guys who've been doing a great job and then you're not going to –
They're on all defense. They're doing
right.
all kinds of stuff.
Mobley was defensive player of the year, but you're going to let some 37-year-old Cone get away with it because you want to placate him because you want him to re-sign and you want him to be in a comfortable mind space because you want to be, you know, Timu Mike D'Antoni.
Don't you think like you lose all credibility when he just starts it off saying he's a great isolation defender, always has been?
Oh, he has never
and
been.
I'm like, when?
Then why does everybody try to isolate him?
That's because he doesn't want him to get into a, you know, become a mental small person.
Dude, at this point, like, if you 37 years old and you still you got mental problems when it comes to playing defense or whatever, that's on you.
If you're 37 years old and you can't play defense.
And you get your feelings hurt.
Yeah.
If you're 37 years old, all the money you made, Nate, and you get your feelings hurt, like, yeah.
I got no goosies. Kenny Atkinson's no full goosies. Of it.
Zero goosies. I don't give goosies to liars.
No goosies.
Wow. Jennifer? You're lying. You telling me James Harden's a good then why did the whole stadium, the whole arena clear it out so you could go one-on-one like y'all on the spotlight?
Ole. Next thing, the Garden's going to start throwing roses onto the court.
No, all they're going to do is like this: the arena's going to go dark, and they're going to put the flashlight, the ISO, on Harden and and Brunson.
Brunson's going to have the rose thorns right between his mouth after he scores.
If I was
bucket.
Brunson, I'd say to him, man, I'd be a Hall of Famer if I had to play against you every week.
Jennifer, goosies?
No, absolutely not.
Vlad?
I said no goosies
before even he started talking. Hey, I didn't even hear the comment, bro. But the fact that I heard the comment, yeah. Absolutely no goosies. Come on, man.
By the way, I did say that to Ohio State.
You said what?
I'd be in the College Football Hall of Fame if I could play y'all every week.
That's a great line. That's got to hurt the rivals.
The kids call a bar.
But they couldn't tackle me, so it didn't matter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We'll take a break. Final hour coming on up. We're back after this.